Good morning. I'm Rusty. I'm pastor here at New Hope, and whether you're online, on campus, we're really glad you're with us. Before we get into the message, I wanted us to pray. Those of us that are in this area, one of them is recovering. I think sometimes it's easy for us to forget just how fragile our lives are. And there are a number of families and friends of theirs that are just in just terrible grief right now. So what I'd like for us to do is just pray for them, pray for the families, pray for all the students and those that come alongside to care for them. If you would join with me. God, it's... We read about, we hear about tragedies all the time, every day. And then there's some that draw really close to home. We are so sorry for these families that have lost two young daughters and another that is grateful but still reeling while their daughter recovers. It's easy to come up with all kind of big statements, and people use social media for all kind of opportunities to correct or challenge and all. And right now what's needed is prayer and support. There are those that are coming alongside these families and all their network of friends. And we pray there'll be people that know and love you that will enter in and not be silent, but also not be foolish. Pray that you would bring comfort and help and healing. And God, help us to never become callous to these kind of things, but to, when we hear, to immediately go to prayer and look for ways we can be your hands and feet and even your voice in the midst. Pray that you would speak to us today and that we would really listen and that we would respond well. That all the stuff that's crying for our attention, that we would put it aside for now and hear what Jesus taught and allow him to have free access to us. Please speak to us now in Christ's name. Amen. So we're doing a series that this week and then seven more. We're going to go through probably 9 or 10 of Jesus' parables. A parable, it was a way Jesus taught. And by the way, even people that don't follow him know he was a phenomenal teacher. He was a master at being able to communicate in ways that it made sense. And if you dig deeper, it's just like an onion. There's more and more to it. We're going to be looking at these stories he taught. And these parables, they're fictional stories that illustrate a very, very important truth in life. In these parables, and you'll see a couple of these today, you don't pick every word and find some kind of hidden allegory. That's not the point of these. They're fiction stories. Sometimes they're a little over the top, but they're designed to get our attention on something that is really, really key for us. And these are not just spiritual stories. These are about real life and about the choices you and I make and how we're going to live our lives. And I think you'll see this in here. Jesus was so good about capturing people's attention and getting them to scratch their heads. What is he getting at? What's going on here? It wasn't ever to impress people, but it was to inspire them to find out what is really going on here? What's going on with me? What am I learning about God, about life, about faith, about truth? And so I'm going to read you these two. They're short. They're probably the two shortest ones I'll do in the series. This is from Matthew. Jesus said this to the crowd. He goes, "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure that a man discovered hidden in a field. In his excitement, he hid it again and sold everything he owned to get enough money to buy the field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant on the lookout for choice pearls. When he discovered a pearl of great value, he sold everything he owned and he bought it." Sounds like modern day America, doesn't it? I found something. I'm going to get it before anybody else does. It's mine. And that would be easy to, you can easily see why Jesus told the story. Because he wanted to capture people's attention and make them think. In this first story about the guy that's working in the field and he finds this great treasure, I mean, people there understood it happened a lot. You got to remember, in Israel at this time, they were used to war. They were used to being occupied. At this point, they were occupied by Rome. There was constant battles going on. Plus, you know, there were thieves, there were robbers, all this kind of stuff going on. And there were banks, but banks were for wealthy people. So what did regular people do? They found a place and buried it. We hear people now that have, some of you have too, but I won't point you out. You hide your stuff under the mattress because you don't trust the banks. I mean, there's all kind of things, ways that we try to secure and hide things that are valuable to us. And in this case, people were used to hearing about someone that would bury their goods, the most valuable things they had. And usually they would have some way to know where it was. The problem is if they forgot or the tree got cut down, that was the vantage point to mark it, or they died. And so there regularly people would find treasures that had been lost. I mean, y'all have heard of pirate treasures, that the pirates hid it from other pirates and then they died. And then someone comes along on the beach with one of those electronic things and they find an earring and a dime and then they find treasure. I mean, this is not unusual. In this case, the person that found it wasn't hunting for treasure. He was probably renting, or maybe he was working for the owner of the field. He was doing his day job, and his hoe bangs into something. He digs it up and finds out, great day, look at this. And he realizes this is a great treasure, but I got to figure out how to get it. So he buries it back. He goes and takes everything he owns, sells all of it, so he can buy that plot of land, because on that plot of land is where his treasure is. And it's a, you know, you and I can really understand it. Is it legal? Actually, in that culture, it was legal. If you owned the land, you had all the rights that went with whatever was in it. There was a story not long ago, a guy went to a garage sale, and he paid $30 for this little painting. He had some thoughts, this might be more valuable than $30, and ends up it was. It was worth $10 million. A guy named Juror had painted it. It had been lost. He finds out, so $30 to $10 million? Yeah, and I don't know that he went back to the garage and gave even half of it to the person he bought it from. He purchased it fair and square, and now he's got a really nice painting. We get this, and people understand it. There was also, and I won't show this, but there was a guy that bought a painting accidentally in a garage sale because he wanted the frame. And when he took the frame apart, he found out there was one of the handful of copies, original copies of the Declaration of Independence. Fairly priceless. And he didn't give that back either. So you've got the guy that's working his day-to-day job, finds this treasure, sells everything he has so he can buy the field and have the treasure that goes with it. The next story is about a pearl merchant. This is a guy that spent his whole career studying and purchasing pearls. He knew pearls. He knew them really, really well. And then one day he finds this pearl that is above anything he'd ever seen. It was like the perfect pearl. And what does he do? Sells everything he has. Gives up all his other pearls, everything he has to get that pearl. And you and I may not be into pearls or diamonds or whatever it is, but I'll give you an example here. Some of you know about baseball cards. Bill, let's show this picture. This is a Mickey Mantle baseball card. It was from his rookie year, 1952. There are people that their whole life is built around baseball cards. In fact, this card was actually found. A guy had them in a house, and a guy originally bought thousands of these cards. It just happened this was one of them. This is a pretty valuable card. Most of us probably don't understand this much. Onis Wagner was a card from 1909, last year, that sold for $7.6 million. A month later, this card sold, this Mickey Mantle rookie card. It was it was the finest card they have ever seen, over $12 million. Someone knew what it was. I don't know if they sold everything they had to get it, but my guess is they had to give up a few things to get it. because they knew baseball cards and they really wanted it. This is the story of the pearl guy. He understood pearls. He knew that this was the best ever, and he'd spent his whole life pursuing it. Sells all he has to get it. So what do we learn from a guy that's working in the field, finds a treasure, and a pearl merchant? And really, Jesus is getting it. I'm going to get two key things here. The first is there are a couple of ways to discover God, and they're different. One is to be diligently searching for him. Like the pearl merchant, he'd spent his whole life pursuing pearls. There are some people that spend their whole life trying to pursue truth and finding out what's the meaning of life, what really, really matters. And then there are other people, like the treasure guy, they're just going about their day-to-day life, and along the way, they're surprised and discover God. They discover what God offers that you don't find anywhere else. Some are diligently searching. Others are surprised. They come to the same thing. And this whole, let me get to this thing about kingdom of heaven. I think that would be important. This is not about one day maybe. The kingdom of heaven is that realm of people over which God rules. Anyone that is a follower of Jesus Christ has now become part of his kingdom. It's not limited to geography or time and space. It's people who have decided, I'm going to follow him. He is now the king. He's the ruler. He's the leader of my life. And so finding out that what God offers is the greatest thing ever and wanting to give all I have to find, whether I've been searching all my life or where I discover it by surprise. If you want a picture of what this looks like, all you have to do, and I'm not getting political here, but if you just look at our borders, how many people are willing to give up everything they have to come and try to become part of this kingdom? Now, sometimes I'm wondering why. Maybe because they don't get the paper. But compared to other countries, this is the goal. Where there's a sense of freedom, where there is democracy, where there's some hope that they could build a future, and they're thinking, I would give up anything to cross that border, become part of this kingdom. So the kingdom of heaven is that realm which God rules, and anyone that has accepted Jesus as their Savior and leader is now part of God's kingdom. And so what you see here is there are some people that have been searching for this diligently to try to find it, like the pearl merchant. You think of someone like C.S. Lewis. C.S. Lewis was a confirmed atheist. He had studied philosophy. He'd studied history. He'd studied everything. He was trying to find what makes the most sense. And then in his middle age, he becomes a follower of Jesus Christ because he realizes this is the pearl that is greater than anything else. And look, he'd studied them all. People that are surprised, people that haven't been searching but are surprised, are people that in the course of life, they begin looking and see what works and what doesn't, what makes sense. And in many cases, a bunch of hard knocks leads them to think there's got to be something more. And they are surprised by God. That's what happened to me when I accepted Jesus. I was not looking for God. I couldn't have cared less about him. Gratefully, he cared something about me. I've got friends that are in Celebrate Recovery and 12-Step that have found that life doesn't always work out the way we want it to. And then are surprised to find that there's grace, there's hope, there's truth that's available. However you come to it, once it's realized, once you realize this is a treasure, where else are you going to find the hope that God offers us, not just now, but for eternity? Where are you going to find forgiveness for even the most heinous things that we have thought or done? Where else are you going to find the peace that God offers? And the peace that comes because we're in his presence constantly, because he has invited us into his family. We're now citizens of his kingdom, and he will never rip us off. It's a treasure that is beyond anything you'll find anywhere else. And once you come to realize it, whether you've been searching for it or whether you're surprised by it, there's a choice that needs to be made. And there's really only one way to experience all that God offers. And that is this, full devotion. And the moment I say that, some of you are saying, well, that won't work for me. Let me see if I can explain it. Because if you look at these parables, and if you're not careful, you'll draw the conclusion that there's somehow you can do like the Led Zeppelin song, I can buy my way into heaven. Remember, the parable has one main point. Don't start extrapolating other things. You cannot buy your way into a relationship with God. You can't buy your way. You can't hire someone to get you to cross the border. What he's saying here is that full devotion means that I'm going to give up all that I've been clinging to, all that I've held on to, all that I've achieved, so that I can grab hold of what God offers me, this gift that he's offered me that is of this huge value. I'm not earning anything. I'm trading what I've had for something much better. I'm willing to give up my way to accept his way. It means I'm letting go so I can grab hold of something else. I'm afraid too many times that's been missed, or the church has mangled the message. Please, I hope you will not miss this. There is nothing you and I can do to ever earn or deserve God's gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. It is a free gift, but in order to receive it, I have to grab hold of it. It's a cheesy illustration, and I didn't ask her permission, so I won't tell you that this is my daughter I'm talking about. Anyway, I am. When Sarah was little, we lived in Fort Worth, Texas. We lived in this small house. It was big enough for us. We were fine. And one day, Sarah was crawling in the hallway, and she wanted to come into what I can't really call it a dining room. It was the other room. And she was trying to get in there, but she had this big toy in her hand, and she couldn't get through the doorway because the toy was banging into the door. She wanted to be with me and Mom, but she couldn't get through the door holding on to it, and she didn't want to let go. She wanted both. She was utterly frustrated because it didn't work that way. She was going to have to let go of the toy to be with me and Mom. Now, I'm not sure which one won. The toy may have won that one. But this is the deal, is Jesus is saying you can't have it both ways. If you give up what you've got to get what you could never find anywhere else, that's a great trade. And by the way, whatever you give up, as time goes on, you're going to discover you're going to get much more as a result of having accepted the one that loves us so well now and forever. Too many times, I think people have been turned off to the Christian faith because what they've seen is people that are trying to do both and. And they haven't seen this full devotion that God says. Listen to what Jesus said. He taught this later in Matthew. He goes, Jesus replied, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And by the way, when you're in his kingdom, you accept his commands. They're not suggestions. They're not nice ideas. They're not little posters you can put up and think about every once in a while. When you're in his kingdom, you follow the king. He goes, and a second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. All that the Bible teaches can be encompassed in these two things. What does God want? He wants us to love him with our whole heart, mind, soul, strength, everything, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. When you become part of his kingdom, this is what we do. This is what we strive for. This is what we aim for. It's either going to be God first, or me and whatever I'm clinging to. How I use my time, my money, my achievements, my career, my relationships, my comfort, my pleasure, whatever it is. I've got a choice to make. Devotion is measured by my choices. And my choices get down to this. Who am I seeking to please? This is a tough one. Because if we're really honest about our choices, a lot of times we get down to it. The goal of my prayer is to get what I want. My choices are designed around what? Me. And I can come up with all kind of ways to say, oh, it's really all about Jesus, or, you know. But if I'm really honest, I'm going to find that many times it's all about what I want. And I'm trying to have both. It's kind of like Sarah going through the doorway. I want this, I want that. And that can explain why some of us are really miserable when it comes to our relationship with God. And when we read in the Bible about having peace and joy, it's like, where do you get that? I don't have any peace. I don't have any joy because I don't have what I think I deserve. I don't have what I want, because we're trying to live in two worlds. And we can't be fully citizens of God's kingdom while we're trying to cling to things in this world. And in that parable, Jesus said, these two guys, they sold everything they had to gain what was being offered to them. So I'm going to show you a clip from Indiana Jones. This is the one with Sean Connery in it. It's one of my favorite movies. And I want you to see this picture. Most of you have probably seen it. And it gives us, I think, a good illustration of what I'm talking about. In this case, they've been searching for this Holy Grail, and they finally found it. And they've been searching for it. They have it. It's right within their grasp. And I want you to watch how two of them deal with this. Now, in this case, forgive me, but I'm treating Sean Connery kind of as Jesus, and I know he's not. Jesus is not Welsh. But I just want you to think about it for a minute and imagine that you were one of these two people that are trying to grab and to have both. Let's watch this together.
We have got it. Come on.
Elsa. Elsa, don't move.
It's ours, Indy. Yours and mine.
Elsa, don't cross the seal. The knight warned us not to take the grail from here.
When you watch it in a movie, it's entertaining. When you think about your life, it's a little different. How many times are there things that we've decided, I want Jesus, but I really have to have this. I've got to have certain things. I've got a certain lifestyle that I deserve. I've got to have recognition. I've got to have these right relationships. I've got to have free use of my time. I need to do what I want to do. And then you wonder, why is it that it doesn't seem like my life measures up to what I read in the Bible, or when I hear about people that have this sense of joy and fulfillment? If you're straddling two worlds, it'll never happen. One of the things that I hope that before this weekend's over, all of us will think about, is there anything hindering me from grabbing hold of God fully for me having full devotion to him. And if there is, not to pretend it doesn't exist, not to excuse it, not to justify because I'm better than others, but God, what do I need to do? What do I need to give up? What do I need to call out? There's some of us that have looked at the Christian faith and just said, it just seems too hard. It looks like it would be really tough to live that way, where God now has free access to my money and my time, how I use my talents, how I use my influence. And the shame of that is, I think sometimes people have gathered that because they've watched some really sour followers. People that whine about it, and rather than just being grateful, I get to be part of God's kingdom. It's not that I have to sacrifice or give up. It's that I get to, because look what I have gained. Jim Elliot, he was a missionary. His wife, Elizabeth Elliot, wrote a book called Through Gates of Splendor. It's a phenomenal story if you've never seen it, I would encourage you to get it. But he made this statement. He could have easily been a doctor, could have been very wealthy and famous, and he ended up giving his life to be a missionary to the Aka Indians. And by the way, they misunderstood some of what he did, and they killed him. His wife ended up going back to live among them to help him find Jesus. This is something Jim Elliot said. He goes, "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." Everything you and I have right now is temporary. Unless we have accepted Jesus Christ, and that relationship is permanent. And it's full and it's real, and there's purpose God offers, and God will never ever rip us off being part of his kingdom and following him. There is nothing like it ever. So if you're a follower of Christ and you've been allowing some things to distance you from full devotion, I want to encourage you today, when we pray in a moment, will you just ask God to help you give it up? You're not earning anything. You're not buying anything. You're not bargaining with God. It's just, God, you've offered me this brand new life, but it requires that I grab hold of you with both hands and let go of anything that would interfere. What you will find over time is that what you give up doesn't compare to what you gain, and how you're able to handle all the things that come along later, because you now have a great guide and a great leader and a great provider. There's some here that have not accepted Christ, and it may be you've got some misconceptions about it, or you've seen some poor examples. And I want to challenge you, would you be willing to be like the pearl merchant? Would you search? Ask your questions. The thing about the Christian faith is it is not at all fearful of honest questions being asked. Our faith is based on evidence. It's based on truth that can be analyzed. It's not just a worldview. It is a brand new lifestyle based on the one who came, sacrificed his life, and was resurrected. So when you go home, there's a take-home sheet. I hope you'll spend some time with that, chew on it. It wouldn't take long, but it could really make a difference, and it could define some things for you. But right now, what I'd like for us to do is to pray, if you would just bow with me. God, I am convinced that you have been laying out all kind of breadcrumbs for us. For some of us that we've occasionally thought about you, we might even be here in a service or watching this online, a little bit curious, but mostly as a spectator from a distance. But if we're really honest, there's something that you've been doing to get our attention. You've been disrupting some things. You've been pointing out some things. And there's an interest that we have And God, I pray for anyone that is in that position right now that they would ask you to help. Help them to understand. Help them to make sense of the claims of the Christian faith. To just give it an honest, hard look. I pray for anyone here that's skeptical that they wouldn't allow what other people that claim to follow you that have done, that have been out of character with you, that they wouldn't allow that to become a distraction. Now, there's some of us that we accepted you, but we've slid into some bad habits. We've slid into some choices where we're really in the driver's seat, and we occasionally nod to you, but we don't bow to you. And that's really the reason why our faith seems dead and why our relationship with you is so surface. Help us to be honest with you today and to look at our lives and see what is it that we're hanging on tightly to that we think we couldn't live without, or that means so much and surely you're so busy with the rest of the universe you won't mind. But if we're honest, we know we really haven't sought to please you, but to please ourselves. And for those of us that may be really tired, everywhere we look, we see people that seem to be having it made. Their life is easy and comfortable, and they're always smiling, and they're always with people that look good and smell good, but that's a little different for us. God, forgive us for the times when we measure success with the wrong metric. And help us to realize that whatever time we have this side of heaven, it is time to be used and time for us to give all that we have so that you will be pleased and others would find you and others would be encouraged to follow you. Please speak to us today. Disrupt us to where we're unsettled until we've really come to you and ask for your help. In Christ's name, amen.